Support for Central Florida Public Media comes from Daytona Beach International Airport, offering new nonstop service to New York City and Boston, Massachusetts. Daytona Beach International Airport features convenient access to the terminal, easy and close parking, and more. Details at flydab.com.
I'm Sharon Stone. This is Engage. Every year, Orlando gathers to read the names of the 49 people killed at the Pulse nightclub.
And my brother, and forever my best friend, Christopher Joseph Sanfelice.
Corey James Connell. And my sister, Dianca Deidre, also known as Didi Drayton.
Luis Daniel Conde.
Frank Hernandez.
And our son Jerry Wright.
Tomorrow, it will happen again at the City of Orlando's Pulse Remembrance Ceremony at the First United Methodist Church downtown.
Mercedes Marisol Flores and my brother Javier Jorge Reyes.
This year marks a milestone. 10 years since a gunman stormed Pulse on June 12, 2016, killing 49 people and injuring 58 others. This is Engage on Central Florida Public Media. I'm Sharon Stone. For many, this milestone is emerging as a difficult one, full of heartache and unresolved grief. Central Florida Public Media's Joe Mario Pedersen joins Engage now. You're here to share a story of one survivor who hasn't really spoken out about her experience before.
Yeah, no, that's right. We're talking about Dadalys Torres. She's 37, currently lives in Fort Wayne, Indiana. She, of course, used to live here in Orlando. And she had been telling me that, of course, she was one of the survivors there that night. She had actually gone to the club with two of the people who had been killed, Jonathan Camuy Vega and G. Marie Rodriguez Sullivan. And we really started with how she was doing as we got closer to the 10-year remembrance, right? And I asked her, you know, how was she, right? And how she'd been adapting to life in these last 10 years. And she described it as kind of like being on a roller coaster.
But then again, that's the roller coaster of the up and down, up and down. And then it came another era where that kind of like went away. You were able to, I don't know, smile, be happy about certain things, and the nightmares came back and everything again. So then you find joy in life again, then you go back to it. So I just don't recall a time before 2016 where it was like that, where there was always something that would take you back to a certain point.
So, you know, a lot to unpack there, right? She, you know, has the highs and lows, and easy to understand how a person after going through something like Pulse would probably get there. You know, asking her about that night, you know, she was telling me that her group had arrived at the club pretty early on in the night. She was telling me that a lot of the survivors had arrived at about 11, but like her group had been there probably earlier, sometime between like 9 and 10. And they were having this wonderful night. And she said right when the shooting began, there was some confusion because they, of course, they were hearing these gunshots. But they'd been hearing gunshots all night because there was a lot of gunshots in the music that they were listening to reggaeton. She's just telling me that there was a lot of hip hop, and the sound of a gunshot has been used in a lot of the songs that they were already dancing to. And then she told me, you know, what came next.
A lot of screams, people running or being trapped. I do remember, obviously, the sounds getting louder, like the shots getting louder. At some point, I was in the VIP, like by, because the VIP had, you know, the lounge and the area of the restrooms and all that, and the entrance. At some point, I go from looking at him and or hearing him say, "That's not," like he's like, "No, that's not music."
For clarity, that him she is referring to was one of her friends at the club.
you know, following that, she isn't really sure how she ended up going outside. A lot of this part of her story, she's told me that she's had to rely on others to kind of clarify where she was, how she even got out of the club. She had blood on her. She knew it wasn't hers, but she doesn't know where it came from. And she was there for hours looking for her friends without having any idea that they had been shot. You know, we hear these accounts from the survivors and how terrifying this was. She's been telling me that, you know, she's been trying to work through a lot of that, trying to piece a lot of these memories together. But at the end of the day, she's still filled with a lot of questions about what happened to Jonathan or to Jean-Marie, about the situations that they ended up in and how they got shot. And, you know, she, of course, carries this survivor's guilt, too. So it's a lot that she's carrying.
Jo Mario, we're a decade removed now. Is she in a place where she can move forward?
So, yeah, we did talk about that. And I thought that this was really impressive to me. You know, she told me that she went to a pretty dark place after this, of course. And she was actually studying to get her master's degree in human resources management. And while she was taking those courses, Pulse, of course, happened. And she didn't really feel like she wanted to continue that. She was really close to Jonathan, especially. And she decided, well, if I can't finish it for me, I'm gonna finish it for him. And she was able to find that drive. As far as a purpose beyond Pulse, she says she has two little girls.
Why I keep going, I don't know if I would have been able to continue had I not had those girls, if I'm really, really honest. Especially because of how heavy is for me, you know, like everything in my particular case, you know, I talk as a survivor and I talk as not knowing, you know, the details of where John was and all that. So having that excruciating pain for so many years is something only maybe love and time, patience can overcome. And I think that's where my daughters play a huge role.
Jo Mario, you mentioned that survivor's guilt. That, along with grief, why does it tend to be more powerful at certain times, like this 10-year remembrance?
Mm. Yeah, I spoke to a couple of different experts about post-traumatic stress and the grieving that, you know, we experience during these remembrances, these big number remembrances, right? Like 5-year, 10-year, right? And the way they thought about it, it's a couple different things. It's first, we start talking about it again more, right? In the lead up to it. And in the talking, you might not actually even consciously realize it, but as a result of that talking, you start thinking about it more. And then that weight of time, we were talking about this weight of time, 10 years, you start to feel that physically, right? So it does tend to unearth, you know, some feelings that maybe you thought had been resolved, but, you know, they come right on back with, again, you know, that the feeling of the heaviness and just with hearing about it more and more and more.
You, Jo Mario, are part of the Central Florida community. You were covering the attack at Pulse in 2016. What feels different for you now?
I don't know. I mean, as far as where I was then with where I am now, I mean, that was a tough day for all of us, right? And I think I still, you know, I still feel that sadness, right? I still feel the pain of what we saw that day and the days following. I think for me, what's changed is, I guess, just my perspective on Orlando. And that happened very fast. I always saw Orlando as a friendly place, but I, witnessing the amount of love that really came out of that day and the embrace for so many people, right, in so many communities, seeing the city evolve in that way and then retain that, right? I think it's easy to, when you're swept up in the emotion of something, right, to try and be more inclusive, but for that change to really stick over 10 years, I think that is very impressive. And I think that has stuck with me as far as this community goes and the last 10 years.
Central Florida Public Media's Joe Mario Pedersen, thank you so much for your insight.
Thanks for having me.
While the city of Orlando hosts public remembrance events, some survivors and family members of victims are creating a separate space of their own. They will gather at a private location in Central Florida, away from public officials and formal programming. Orlando Torres will host the gathering exclusively for families and survivors. Torres was a nightclub promoter at Pulse and survived the attack 10 years ago by hiding in a bathroom stall for more than 3 hours until he was rescued by SWAT officers. He just moved back to Orlando from Puerto Rico 2.5 months ago. Torres says one way he continues moving forward is through work that helps save lives, transporting organ donations to hospitals for scheduled surgeries.
It gives me pleasure that that God left me here on earth from that day as being a courier or a transporter of, picking up organs and having to save lives.
No, that does sound like it would be very rewarding in a way.
Yes, it is.
So as we're looking back, we're on this 10-year milestone, which is significant. As you approach this, is there anything about what that number means to you personally, 10 years?
Well, 10 years, it's been like a sentence of waiting, for a memorial that was promised to be done and a waste of, 10 years of the ups and downs and the owner not having to hold their promise and focusing on a museum that the survivors and the victim's family wasn't asking for originally. So it's like, it's been a long time. And I've always said that, before I expire, that I want to see through my eyes and soul an actual museum built there in respect for the 49 angels, as well as the physically injured, survivors. So that I, at least I know if I end up in heaven that I can share the vision and, having to see this finally completed here in respect of the 49 angels.
As you're preparing for the 10-year remembrance for just the survivors, just for family members impacted this private event that you are hosting, what do survivors and families need from a 10-year remembrance that they can't get elsewhere?
Well, it's something that, we are doing it ourselves. This is something that we get together, we claim to see what we want to see in our gathering, because it's just it's too much politics, with speakers of politicians, and, we haven't been too happy with them lately because they try to erase the rainbow on the boardwalk and that was an issue and a problem that some got arrested, and thank God they were not brought up on charges. So we're just tired of this being turned into a political spectacle, and here this is going to be something that is just amongst what we want to see, what we want to feel comfort with, without having them to show something of what they want us to hear and see, unfortunately.
When people leave your remembrance event that you are hosting, what do you hope that they carry with them?
We're all human beings, And it was shown, the first year of a vigil at Lake Eola that we had at least 50,000, I believe, that represented when we were holding a remembrance vigil there at Lake Eola. And it was not just gays or bisexuals or, certain religions, certain ethnic groups. It was in support of everybody. I mean, we're all human beings, as I always said. We all hurt, we all bleed the same. And the community of Orlando showed up and supported us with love and respect. And it's something that is not being held because of what our sexual preferences were at the time, or is that people know that any human being does not deserve to go through what we all went through that day on June 12th.
Well, as the public marks 10 years, what would you like the focus to be? What do you want them to hear?
You have to listen to every victim's families and survivors' inputs, take it into consideration, you know, what we like, what we don't like. As you remember, we paid the price. They didn't. We did, you know. Many of the survivors, you know, have gone through blood transfusions, still going through surgery. You know, the victims' families knows their children, and they know what they like to see and want in a vision of a memorial. And it's important. It's, we pay the price. Many pay the ultimate price. And it should be respected. It should be listened and heard and working with us. But apparently it seems like, you know, whoever is holding the memorial creation, it seemed like they wanted at their vision, not the respect of the victims of the tragic mass shooting June 12th.
Do you ever feel just overwhelmed by the length of this process? I'm talking to you 10 years later. There's still no memorial.
Yeah, that's why I said it feels like a 10-year sentence, as if we were, you know, made to wait, as if we don't matter, you know, a waste of promises, that looking forward to something that it was deserving, you know, in respect for the 49 angels. So, yeah, it's been feeling like a 10-year sense of a upward and downward battle of with the owners as well as the city. So never smooth, but this is what we've been dealing with, and waiting and hoping for something to go in respect that we all feel and want to see that we deserve.
If you can make sure one message is heard during this anniversary, what is it that you want people to hear?
Well, I've always said, and I always love that meme that was put out, you know, keep dancing, Orlando. And that's not just keep dancing, Orlando, because when we were invited to the Boston Pride a year or two, I think it was afterwards, we went out there, we were on a parade float. We chanted that out to Boston. Keep dancing, Boston. Keep dancing, Boston. And stay strong, you know. And I love that because, you know, dancing does not hurt anybody. And that's what it was that evening, was a traditional get-together, enjoying music that we love to hear, to dance to. And someone comes into our house, our place of peaceful dancing, you know, and having to take innocent lives. And if you don't dance, then they win. You know, they proved that they should put fear into us there or anywhere, preventing anybody from enjoying life, dancing, doing what they love. So keep dancing in life. Do what you love to do. Don't let hatred despair you of enjoying life, doing so. Just keep dancing. And if not, they win. And they don't deserve to win for whatever belief they're against in any human being's life. Just keep dancing, keep joying in life, keep doing it.
Orlando Torres is a Pulse shooting survivor. Earlier this year, the Pulse nightclub was demolished to make room for a permanent memorial. When thinking about that memorial, Torres says he hopes many of the items left at Pulse over the years by mourners and supporters, like the letters, art, and other tributes, won't be forgotten just because there isn't enough room to display everything at once. He would like the memorial to rotate displays periodically to showcase different items rather than leaving some in storage permanently. Engage is a production of Central Florida Public Media. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. Richard Copeland is our senior producer. I'm Sharon Stone. You can reach us anytime with questions, comments, or story ideas. Send an email to engage@cfpublic.org. Thanks for listening.